Okay, the next speaker is Hanno Böck, and many of you here in the audience probably know Hanno. Hanno is a free journalist and likes to hack some nice things. And for example, last year he presented also a talk about how to hack RSA keys and how to extract private keys out of key pairs. And today he prepared also a talk which is slightly related to the previous talk. He will show us how to hack EU electronic e-voices, and he will also include some XML tricks and so on and so on. So please, Hanno, the stage is yours.
Yeah, hello. As Jure said, I want to talk to you a bit about electronic invoices and what the EU created there. But like, as a bit of a, I don't know, a philosophical introduction, Bruce Schneier once said, and that was like a long time ago, complexity is the worst enemy of security. And I think like within the security community, many people would agree with that. Maybe not like 25 years ago, but I think today this is a pretty common principle that, and what I find interesting is also like in software development, they have caught up a bit to this. There's something called the YACNI principle, which means you should not add extra features because you think you might need them at some point, because then you just have additional complexity to deal with and you may never need them. Or also, I only learned about this during preparation of this talk. There's something called do the simplest thing that can possibly work, which I think is also like a good design principle for robust and more secure systems. But of course, not everyone agrees with that. And also, I don't know, I have studied computer science in the early 2000s, and that was really not what we learned. Like, there were a lot of things like add more abstractions, do more, like, I would really argue this is not like a consensus about this, and there are people using and developing technologies that are based on ideas that are more or less the exact opposite, where they like to add more features, whether they need them or not, or even maybe they are needed for extreme corner cases, and they like to use technology that is more complex than it should be. Okay, so let's get to these invoices. The European Union has an e-invoicing directive, and this was also already quite some time ago. It was, like as you can see, it's from 2014, but this is now getting increasingly important because more and more businesses will be required to deal with this. Originally, this was primarily used for public procurement, which means like the state is buying something from a company, so if you're providing services for the government, you may already be required to support these electronic invoices, but it's coming that you will probably, if you have a business and you deal with other businesses, that you will also have to support these electronic invoices. And by electronic invoices, I don't mean like a PDF file. I mean like invoices in a structured data format that is machine readable. And in principle, I think this is not a bad idea. I mean, of course, having invoices that are machine readable, you can do automation, you may be able to have your payment done more efficiently. And also one of the goals the European Union has with this is to reduce tax fraud. So I think the long-term plan is kind of to automate supplying your tax information to the authorities, and that enables to prevent some forms of tax fraud. Okay, so does that mean we have now a standard for electronic invoices in Europe? It's more like we have a complex system of many standards. It's kind of a bit like a fractal. Like you have standards, then you have meta standards, you have different syntaxes for the same standard, you have profiles and extensions. And this can all be very confusing. So there's, for example, this EN16931, which is kind of a standard, which is developed by the CEN, which is the European Standardization Organization. This has two mandatory XML syntaxes because, I don't know, makes it more complicated to implement, whatever, they couldn't agree on one. And there are also optional syntaxes, so if you want, you can define your own, then you have to agree with the person you're sending your invoice, whether they are okay with that, but you can do that. Then they can, you can restrict these invoices, which was is called SIUS, or you can have extensions to these invoices. And like in Germany, we have X-Rechnung, which is both a SIUS and an extension, and we have another standard, which is called Zugpferd, which is because they couldn't agree on having just one standard in Germany. And that has different profiles, and some of these profiles are compatible with this EU standard, and one of them is also compatible with X-Rechnung. I am inclined to say that this is more complicated than it should be. And when I say that, I mean, people may argue invoices are inherently complicated because tax law is complicated, and if it's European, you have many different countries with different tax laws. So there's some inherent complexity in that. But when you try to understand these electronic invoices, you get the impression, okay, there's the inherent complexity, but they add additional complexity to it. Like having two different XML syntaxes that do the same thing, that's not due to tax laws or some inherent requirement, that's just because they couldn't agree on just having one syntax. Something I also experienced when trying to just learn about these things is I saw a lot of these things. So this is like, there's a web page from the Bundesdruckerei, like the German, what's it called, like the institution that prints our passports. And they have a web page where for certain public authorities, if you want to submit an invoice to them, you go to this portal. And then there's on the start page, there's a link, if you want to learn how to do this, click here, and then you click here, and then you get an error message. And it's still the case, I tested it this morning, and I told them several weeks ago. And of course, that happens. Occasionally, you have a broken link. But the thing is, I saw that all the time when I was dealing with this. And I saw things like software examples that aren't working, software that isn't working, and plenty of broken downloads, broken links, etc. Yeah, just appears not very professional. Yeah. So I said there are these EU standards, kind of standards. There's a part one which defines the, how do they call it, the semantics, which means it doesn't really define how to write that in a document, but just what kind of information needs to be in there and how it needs to be in there. And then there are additional parts that bind that to specific XML. Part one and two of these standards are free and the others cost money. Okay, you may disagree with the cost money part, but that's how it is. The part one, the current version is, that's the current version. So I would argue the version number is also more complicated than it should be. Not sure why 2017 plus A1, etc. Yeah. So let's say we want to get these free standards, at least the free ones. There's a web page at the European Union where you can see a list of these standards, and then you click on the link, and that link also does not work. I told them months ago, they still haven't fixed it. But even if you find the right page at the European Standardization Organization, the CEN, they don't give you the download. They only say you need to go to the national standardization organizations, which each EU country has one. And there you can get these standards. Okay, let's say we go to DIN, which is the German standardization organization. And then you can find this standard here. And it says free of charge, at least in German. If you want to have it in English, it costs 374 euros. That's a bit unfortunate, but if you search a bit more, you will find that there's another version also in the shop of Dean, which is like the Spanish version, and there's an English version of the Spanish version, and that's free. So for the same document, like each standardization organization made their own version, and I'm not really sure if they are different in any way, and sometimes they are in different languages, and some of them are free, some of them are not. Yeah. Okay. A tip, like if you really need to access these documents, the Estonian standardization organization, they don't require you to register an account, you can just download them. At the Dean, you can register an account, you can also do that with bogus data. Don't even verify the email address, so okay, but the easiest way to get them is at the Estonian standardization organization. And also, they have cheaper prices, so if you require the parts of the standard that are not free, in Estonia they are cheaper than in Germany. Let's say you want to create such an invoice with a price of 99.99 euros. And in Germany, with German standard tax, you cannot do that. Because this standard has rounding rules. And if you want to have 99.99 euros with a tax of 19%, there's no way to have a price that ends up this price, so that's not possible. That's kind of a sign that this came more from the B2B side, where you have prices and add the tax on top. But if you end up then, this can cause problems. Like if you, let's say you're a company and you're buying books, and books have price binding, so they need to have a certain price. This was pointed out by Raphael Michel. He did a talk at the Meta Rhein-Main Chaos Days, which I also can very much recommend if you want to learn a bit more about other aspects that I'm not covering here. Yeah. Okay. All of these invoices are XML. XML is also more complicated than it should be. And of course, as we're here at a security conference, we also already heard about XML and security a bit before. So we need to talk a bit about XML and security, or the lack thereof. So one of the kind of classic XML attacks is the so-called billion last attack. So in XML, you can define an entity that just means you have this and sign something, and that you can define one and that will be replaced. So we define an entity A that will be replaced with lol, and you can do that recursively. So this then we define an entity B that is just many times what is in the entity A, and then we do C, which is many times what is in B, etc. So this just ends up being a lot of data. And if your XML parser is not implementing any countermeasures, this may just crash your XML parser. And what's interesting about this is, okay, this was discovered 20 years ago, but there are constantly new variations of this discovered. And for example, there's currently an unfixed issue in XPAT. Like it's publicly known that this issue exists. The specific payload is currently not disclosed, and there this is prevented by kind of every XML library implements some kind of heuristics. Some do like some level of nesting is not allowed, or they do some, if the output is that much bigger than the input, then that will be rejected. But it's really one thing that I find quite notable is that there's not really any standardization how to prevent these kinds of vulnerabilities, and that also means kind of different XML libraries behave in different ways. But this is kind of only denial of service. The more interesting XML security issues are so-called XXE attacks, which stands for XML External Entity Injection. We already heard about them in the previous talk. So what you can do is you can define an entity that reads the content of a file on the system, and then the entity will contain the content of the file. So here's a very simple example. You have an XML file at the top that reads the etc passwd file, and if you run that through an XML parser that will supports these entities, then you end up having the content of the file in the output. And this is not really a solved problem. So this has also been known for more than 20 years, but and like some XML parsers have decided, yeah, okay, we should do something about this and implement some secure defaults. And there are different ways to go about this. Some will just not load any external content. Some will just not do entities by default at all. But most parsers have done something so that they are not vulnerable by default. But others don't have secure defaults. Yeah, this is from the Java documentation. So they have something called feature secure processing. If you read something like that, it sounds a bit suspicious. So for their XML library, okay, it says, yeah, feature for secure processing. True instructs the implementation to process XML securely. This may set limits on XML constructs to avoid conditions such as denial of service attacks. I'm not sure. I don't find this very specific. I don't really know from the documentation what this does. This documentation about feature secure processing doesn't really say exactly what it does. It actually does prevent XXE attacks, but it doesn't say so in the documentation. And also, it doesn't say whether it's on or off by default. And if you have something that's called feature secure processing, I would say that should be on by default, but it's actually off by default. But there's something kind of special with these invoices that adds even more security problems. The same security problems, but it makes them more likely. So there are Schematron files. Schematron is some kind of XML validation language, so you can define that an XML document has to fulfill certain conditions, that certain fields need to be present, or their values need to have certain properties. And these Schematron files get converted into XSLT, and then you can check an XML file whether it is compliant with this Schematron. And the EU provides such files to check your invoices if they are correct, which sounds like a reasonable thing to do. These validation files require XSLT2. Now, XSLT is this kind of XML transformation language, and it has three versions: 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0. And the version 1 is the one that is supported everywhere, and the other versions are not really supported widely. There's basically just one major implementation that everyone is using, which one may argue whether that's really a standard if there's only primarily one implementation and everyone else doesn't implement it. I had a bit of a discussion with the W3C because they have a recommendation for this, and I find that problematic, but they don't want to do anything about it. Here's a link to the discussion about that. So the one implementation that basically everyone uses when they want to do XSLT in version 2 or 3 is a software called Saxon. It's written in Java, but it also has bindings for C, PHP, and Python, so they kind of compile the Java code to binary, and then you can load that as a Python module. And may not surprise you, Saxon is also by default vulnerable to XXE attacks. I had a discussion with them. They were not really receptive to changing that, so I don't expect that to change. So, to summarize, we have electronic invoices, kind of standardized by the EU, that are all based on XML. XML is complex. It has inherent security flaws, and those flaws are not really dealt with properly everywhere. Most software in this kind of invoicing ecosystem is Java, because of course it's enterprise, and enterprise is often written in Java, and Java, when it comes to XML, is insecure by default. And if you want to do validation of these invoices, it relies on XSL2, which almost everyone uses Saxon to process, and that is also insecure by default when it comes to parsing XML. And the result is as you might expect. You find plenty of vulnerable implementations dealing with these invoices. Like, this is an example. This is the official recommendation from the Zugpferd community if you want to validate an invoice. And like, this is a classic XXE attack. You create an invoice that reads the content of the passvd file, and then you add it to a field, in this case just the name of the seller, and then the file gets printed here. Of course, I have reported that, it's now fixed, but here's another one. Like, here you can generate a PDF out of these invoices, and also vulnerable to XXE injection. There's also something called a blind XXE attack, which is when you don't see the output, you might be able in some situations to generate a URL where you append the content of a file to the URL, and then you can see the content of the file in your web server logs. That, I say you might, because that it often doesn't really work, because you need something that doesn't have new lines in it. Java is a bit more tolerant. It accepts if you have a trailing new line. So it, for example, often works with the hostname file. But I found a few of those as well. Overall, I reported 13 vulnerabilities while preparing this talk. And I absolutely expect that there are more, like, because most of the software that deals with these invoices is not really publicly available. It's often like it's commercial software, and they say, if you can have a test version, but then you need to talk to our sales team. And I didn't want to talk to any sales team, so I haven't dealt with that. So there's definitely more out there that should be tested. And also, I didn't have the impression that anyone who was involved in standardizing this has even thought about this. Like, these standards don't have security considerations. Like, if you read like RFCs, IETF standards, usually these days they have a chapter security considerations, and people write, okay, blah, 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 this standard could have the following security implications. This is what you should do about it. They don't have that. They don't have security contacts. There are no like guidelines for secure development of electronic invoicing software or anything like that. I have some suggestions how to improve things here. I mean, first of all, of course, these implementations should be tested for XXE vulnerabilities. And in order to make that easier, I have shared a test suite with some just example invoices with XXE attacks, freely available. So I really think that probably should have been done by other people, but reduce unnecessary complexity. Like, the first thing I would do is get rid of one of these syntaxes. Unfortunately, what I've heard just a few days ago is that they will probably add a third syntax. The reason for that is that there's something called EDIFACT, which apparently is used a lot in industry, and the industry is really pressuring them to support that as well. So it might even go in the opposite direction. Ideally, I would argue move away from XML and use something safer, and like, I mean, JSON isn't perfect. It has like parser differences and issues, but it's definitely better than XML. I know this is a controversial statement. Avoid pseudo standards like XSLT2, or if you think you need them, then maybe make sure that such standards are widely implemented before using them, particularly for something which you expect many people to implement. And also just implement good IT security practices, which is kind of totally obvious, but like, if you have a standard, think about what that means for security. Have security contacts like security TXT files. Give some guidance for secure implementation. And if you know that there are potential security issues, have like some publicly available tests for them. And a suggestion to Oracle, make your XML parser secure by default. Also for Saxon, but I don't have much hope that that will happen. And also to everyone, like, avoid XML if possible. I don't think there are many legitimate use cases for XML these days. There's a reason why people are not using it that more anymore. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Yeah, I've put up a web page where you can find a link to the test suite and some more information. So, yeah.
Okay, because of time constraints, everybody's making photos of the iPhone. Because of time constraints, there's time for one short question. Is there anybody interested in invoices, using them, or yeah? There we have one.
Thank you for the talk at first. What are your thoughts about protecting integrity of invoices by digital signatures?
I know that PDF signatures are kind of a mess, and you heard about that in the previous talk. And like the experts are like these three people here, I think. It's not my topic of expertise. Ask him. He knows a lot about PDF security and XML security. You've written your thesis about XML security.
Yeah, right? I wrote something like this.
He's the expert. XML signatures looks terrible.
Don't use it. Okay. Good. Okay, so thank you very much once again, Hanno, for your talk, and enjoy the coffee break.